Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's called ejection.
That's right.
Who does it?
Robert Covert or something like that. I don't know.
Or something.
Or something. Yeah,
or someone. Or
something.
Hey, Mace.
Yo.
I owe you $10.
Is it over?
Jason Hayward hit a shot to second base with two men on, and the guy caught it, and my dream is dead. 13-0 Cubs. Another game between the Dodgers and the Cubs tomorrow at 11.
Very funny tweet. Robert Wilkins says, Rob Fukuzaki is to Kurt Sandoval as Queen Elizabeth was to Prince Charles. Sandoval destined to be a 70-year-old number two.
Well, you're the one trying to run Fukuzaki out of town.
Oh, no. I'm just pointing out that Kurt Sandoval has been a number two for a long time. All right, John, any line. Pick a line. 2 o'clock call of the day.
Line number four.
Let's go. I think it's Eddie and Marina Del Rey. Hey, Eddie, what's going on, man?
I'm concerned about the Ohtani trade. What do you think the Dodgers would need to offer? I've been looking at his stats. He's won 30 games pitching. His earned run average is 2.8. He's got 130 run home runs. I'm figuring he's worth two guys for the hitting and two guys for the pitching. He's worth four different people that are really good. As an example, who would the Dodgers give up for Ohtani if they were able to get him? The Angels called him and said, okay, this is who we want. Who would the Angels want on the Dodger roster?
Well, the first.
Hold on, that was a great call. That was a great call, Eddie. Went right into it, didn't say how you're doing.
Nice,
went
Eddie.
Right into your talk. Great
Eddie,
job,
the
Eddie.
The first person the Angels would ask for is Outman. That's the very first, because he's cost controlled. He looks like he's going to be the rookie of the year. He's really good. So Outman is the first name that goes on the list.
I think a name that goes on the list is Dustin May.
Although Dustin May has not been what we thought he would be.
But he's still got killer stuff, and I think he's going to work it out.
If you're the Angels, so look at it from the Angels side. Would you rather have Dustin May or Walker Buehler?
Well, Walker Buehler, we don't know how he's going to bounce back from surgery.
So you don't even touch him?
I wouldn't.
The other Eddie,
he's not even available till next year.
Okay, so, I think you need two pitchers and two hitters.
I think you're right.
And
one of them has got to be one of your top three prospects in the whole organization, whoever that is.
Let's say it's Outman, Dustin May, and two minor league pitching prospects, good ones, like Gavin Stone, Bobby Miller, guys like that.
And by the way, Eddie, if they put Will Smith on their list, you'd have to put him in the deal, too. Yeah, but you would for Ohtani.
Yes, you would. We got a great catcher in the minors, though.
Yeah, Mace, you would for Ohtani.
He's 19 years old. He's fantastic.
Will Smith is the franchise catcher, our number three hitter for the next decade.
Yeah, Mason, you sound like an idiot. You're talking about Shohei Ohtani. You seriously wouldn't trade Will Smith for Shohei Ohtani?
I don't think they'll even ask for Will Smith because he's not a tradable commodity. I think that the tradable commodities are James Outman, who's going to be the rookie of the year, and Dustin May, who's got killer stuff, Gavin Stone, Bobby Miller. If that was the deal, Bergman, would you do that deal?
I mean, I think you have to do it for Ohtani. He's still under 30 years old.
By the way, what about
Urias? He's going to go anyway. Why don't we get rid of him?
Well, Urias is going to go, but that's if the Angels want to contend this year. If the Angels think they can contend this year, then I would ask for Julio Urias. Though they'll have to sign at the end of the season, he's a Scott Boras client. He's going to look for probably, I would imagine, Garrett Cole money, which is like $200 million plus. So it's interesting.
He's a 20-game winner, maybe, if the Angels beat up their hitting a little bit more. If they lose Ohtani, they need some hitting.
Yeah.
We got to give them some hitting.
It's a good call, Eddie. And you know what's interesting,
thanks,
too?
Thanks, Eddie. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
John Heyman had a story today. Well, first of all, let's back up.
Yeah.
Greg, did you put that Jeff Passan
sound in? Yeah, we got it right
here. All right, so here's what Jeff Passan said yesterday about Ohtani.
There's one number that we need to be looking at when it comes to Shohei Ohtani's future, And that is the Los Angeles Angels record, because as long as the Angels are in contention, as long as the Angels have hope for a playoff spot, Shohei Ohtani's probably not going to be traded at the deadline this year. But if the Angels fall out of contention, and if, you know, it's just more of the same as it's been over the last 5 years that he's been there, he could be traded, and he will definitely leave. And seeing him at Yankee Stadium, seeing Aaron Judge rob him of a home run, seeing him hit another earlier in the series, seeing him do everything that he's been doing for the last 3 years when he's been the best player on the planet, shows you why the Los Angeles Dodgers and New York Mets are going to be the two teams that are butting heads with the Giants and the Yankees and the Mariners and perhaps others on the periphery to pay the guy $500 million plus dollars. That's where the bidding is going to start, and it's only going to get higher than that because this guy is simply better than everyone.
So Jeff Passan agrees with me on the note that if the Angels are in it, they don't trade him.
Well, here's a – John Heyman had an article today in the New York Post basically piggybacking off of what Passan said. He called the Angels, and somebody at the Angels told him there's a 0% chance that the Angels trade Ohtani under any condition, which is just so stupid.
That's ridiculous. If that's the case, if they, right. They're 9-10 right now, they're 3.5 games out of first place. If they're not within a couple of games of first place when you get to the trade deadline, you got to trade him. Otherwise, that's malpractice.
Man, you got to listen to the source you're talking about there, John. John Heyman is the absolute worst person to go to when it comes to anything baseball related.
It is absolutely
Jeff Passan is the right guy to. They will absolutely trade him. John Heyman is wrong consistently.
But wait a minute, Greg. You're trusting Artie Moreno to do the smart thing?
No, I'm not. But I trust what Jeff Passan says.
Yes, I trust Jeff Passan over John Heyman, who's retracting tweets on a fairly regular basis.
I mean, there's no way you let that guy walk away for nothing, particularly if you're 20 games out of the playoffs. What's the point?
But if you're in it, you keep him.
You know what, boys? Can I call you back? I actually have to grab this.
Thanks. We tried to call Jeff Passan.
Yeah. He bigger name on the other line.
Damn.
But they cannot hang on to Ohtani if they're out of it. It makes literally no baseball sense. But I wouldn't put it past Artie Moreno to do it. He makes decisions that make no sense all the time.
But you do agree that if they're in it, they keep him.
I do.
Because you previously had a different position on that.
No, I didn't. I said that if I would go to him and I would say, well, here, I guess I'm a little bit different than you. I would go to him and I would give him a Godfather offer.
Won't even entertain that. He's going to go to the market. That's a Scott Boras client.
Well, then if I'm out of it, I trade him for sure.
You don't know if you're out of it. You just know he's going to go to market.
Right. But if that's his position, then I would trade him. Because if he's not coming back, I can't afford to let him walk for nothing.
Even if you lead the American League West.
Makes it harder, but yeah. Well, if you,
I think you owe it to your fans to make a run.
Well, but screw your fans. You owe it.
Wait a minute. Did you really say screw your fans?
Yeah, because I don't think the Angels care about the fans anyway. I think that what Artie Moreno cares about is whether or not they win. And if Ohtani is on a winning team, and let's say the Angels go to the World Series and they win it, doesn't that give you the best chance to keep him when he goes to market?
Totally does. I mean, if you were to win a world championship, and I don't think this Angels team is going to, although I think they're 9-10, their pitching's been okay. They're getting generally good offensive production. Ohtani's obviously, you know, the superstar, but I like Patrick Sandoval and I like Reed Detmers, and I've watched a little Angels baseball this year, and maybe there's a chance that they sneak in for a wild card. Maybe they win 87 games, something like that. I think that's their ceiling. But if they're in it, I don't think you can afford to trade Ohtani, and I don't think anybody over there thinks screw the fans.
Well, here's the thing. Most executives will tell you
they want to win.
If you make decisions based on the fans, then you'll be... Ned Colletti said to me once, if you make decisions based on the fans, you'll be one of them.
But you want to win for the fans. The whole point of winning is for the fans.
No, that's such a line of BS. It's
you really think... What's the point of winning? You think the Lakers don't win for their fans? Of course. The reason you build a winner is for fans. It is Lakers Nation. It is for Lakers fans. That's why you try to win games.
That's a very Pollyanna outlook on it.
Tell me the other side of that.
The other side of it is you worry about one thing, winning. That's it. And if the fans, like this year, the Dodgers didn't build a team for the fans. They let everybody go.
They're trying to build a team for the, they've tried.
No, they didn't. They let everyone go. They, what, explain to me what they brought in this year that makes you think they'll be better than last
they're
year.
Trying to, it's a setup year. They're trying to set up for Ohtani next year. And right, they're getting Ohtani for the what fans.
About, what about the fans this year?
Wait, am I just crazy? Is the winning not for the fans? Do the Lakers not try to win for Lakers fans?
Laker fans will come to the games and support the team regardless. Laker fans
so
are loyal.
So then why bother winning? Why would you go over the luxury tax if it doesn't matter? You can put a mediocre or bad product on the court and the Lakers fans will show up anyway. Lakers want winning. They want championships.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's not the Lakers want winning and championships because that's what they do.
Let's get Jeannie Buss in here and ask her. Well, if they're winning for the fans.
You've said for 3 months you were going to get Jeannie Buss. Where is she?
We got her fiance.
Yeah, but where's Jeannie?
You gotta ask Jeannie. I've texted with her.
You're the one that promised you would get
her.
What
do you think Jeannie would say to your screw the fans take?
Well, I don't think Jeannie, and by the way, I said that about the Angels. You turned it around on the Lakers.
Well, I'm saying any team.
No, any team doesn't worry. What teams should worry about is winning.
But wait a minute. You just said the Lakers can put on a very bad show, a very mediocre team.
I didn't say that.
Team,
you said that.
And people will show up anyway.
No, I said Laker fans will show up when the Lakers play because they're loyal. Now, if they lose, there's a lot more pressure on the Lakers to make moves, but the Lakers aren't going to make moves anyway.
But every
the Lakers are all about winning.
The whole point of winning is for the fans.
Yeah, I mean, that's something you say if you're trying to sell tickets. But nobody.
And that's, by the way, and you are in the business of selling tickets. If you don't sell tickets, you're not making money.
Of course you are. Tickets, fans say, this is where you're way off. Ticket sales have very little to do with financial success. It's all in your TV deal. It's all in your TV.
So how do you get a TV deal?
You win.
Correct. And right. You win. The whole point of it is winning. And the reason to win.
Well, you
is
just
for
said the whole point of it is the
fans. No, the whole point of it is to win for the fans. You've got to win for the fans. Otherwise, if you win in a vacuum, it's not worth anything. You've got to have your fans. That's the reason you put a winning product on the field.
Well, this is a chicken or the egg argument. If you win, you'll get more fans. So what you should only worry about is winning.
I think
if you make decisions based on, it's like the Ohtani example is this. You say they have to keep Ohtani for the fans, right?
I think they owe the fans a run this year. If the Angels are in the race this year, they don't trade Ohtani at the deadline.
Right, but you just said that they owe their fans Ohtani.
Correct, they do.
Regardless of record.
They owe their fans an opportunity to win and celebrate a world championship, yes.
Right, so but you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. You said you would trade Ohtani. What about their fans?
Not,
how are your fans going to feel when you trade Ohtani? Wait
not,
a minute.
The point is winning. If you're not in it, you've got to parlay Ohtani into players that can help you win next year. But I would never say screw the fans on any for any team.
Parlay.
The one thing that most executives would tell you if you put them on a lie detector is if you make decisions based on what your fans want, you won't have your job.
Yeah, I don't think you should base decisions on what your fans want.
You just said it's all about the fans.
It is all about the fans. You put a winning product on the field for the fans or on the court for the fans.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to say if you're trying to win an election. But the truth is, if you talk to a lot of people that run sports teams, they will tell you, my focus is on winning. The fans will come if we win. That's all they care about is winning.
Am I crazy or...
I think you guys are kind of saying the same thing, yeah. To be
all
honest.
Right, let's
with
move
you.
On. It's not what I wanted to do on a Friday.
You didn't want to argue about fandom?
No, I didn't want to argue about fandom. All right, so the
and
NFL.
John's closer to being right.
Roars! It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Mason's just trying to get popularity votes today.
Apparently.
Yeah,
Fans. I do it all for the fans.
Well, I'm pro-fan, and you're screw the fans. So, I don't know. I'll take my side over
your
side.
How are you pro-fan? You leave every game you go to at halftime. If you were pro-fan, you would give that ticket to somebody who would stay for the whole game.
I am pro-fan, period.
How can you be pro-fan and leave at halftime?
Because I'm there in a professional capacity.
Right.
I am a fan, but I can consume it in person or at the game.
Right.
I have that luxury.
Do you think real fans leave early?
No, I do not.
So you're not a real fan?
I'm there to cover the game.
What'd you cover? Who'd you interview
one
while
quarter.
You were there? You're there to cover the first quarter.
I didn't see the ejection, but I left early.
Yeah, I know somebody got ejected, but I was already home.
Let me just ask you something.
Take a deep breath.
Do I leave, aside from cold nights, do I leave Dodger games? Do I leave Dodger games early?
Or you what's get there
the
late?
Even Bergman
left that.
I left that game in the sixth.
That was
inning,
ridiculous.
Seventh.
The press box, it was 32 degrees.
It was freezing.
It was freezing
and windy, and it was.
But
very
when we
cold.
Go to a game, when it's Mason takes a listener to a local,
you get there
ball
in the
game,
fourth inning.
Do I True. Stay till the end of the game?
You
yeah,
do.
Because you
yes,
get there
I
in
do.
The fourth.
Yes, I do.
What about the beginning of the game?
By the way, I'll be there Monday at Crypto for the game.
And what time are you
I got
there?
A question about
I'm
this, John.
I'm staying.
Can we do this next? I have a question about him staying at the game.
Oh, screw
yeah.
you.
I just got a question.
I know exactly what's coming.
Yeah, I just want to know. So let's talk about it next.
Come let's on, talk fam. About something else. Let's talk about the NFL draft. Next, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right, Mirror Audio Video has been serving LA sports fans for more than 40 years. Why? Well, Isaac and Roy and the team at Mirror can deliver for you products and services that the others just don't offer. Creston, Lutron, Control 4, cutting edge home automation available at Mirror that you won't find anywhere else. Also, and this is the most important, world-class customer service. You know when you call some big company and they throw you into phone jail? Not going to happen at Mirror. You call, Isaac or Roy picks up, and just like that, you're taken care of. So do what we do. Call Mirror Audio Video today, 310-234-4010, and check this out. For the remainder of the first round, Isaac will provide an expert in-home consultation for free. That's a $500 value. He'll give it to you for nothing. Tell him Mason and Ireland sent you, and they'll hook you up for sure. And don't forget to follow him on Twitter and Instagram, at Mirror Audio Video.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Don't forget, it's a Lakers playoff Friday on 710 ESPN. Getting you pumped up for what's on tap for tomorrow night's game, Lakers-Grizz. Presented by Michelob Ultra, a refreshing and balanced flavor with only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Please, enjoy responsibly. NFL draft. What do you got, Bergman?
So nothing. NFL draft, nothing, because there's not a lot going on there. I'm more worried about this. So, John, we're Mason and I are going to get credentialed for the game.
Yes.
On which, tomorrow
on
night
Monday.
Or Monday?
No, Monday.
Okay.
Yeah. On Monday. We're both going to go.
Yep.
Okay.
And both of us asked for the seat next to Alan Sliwa.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we may or may not get it. One of us may or may not. It might go to somebody else. It's a playoff
last time
game.
I gave it to you.
Yeah. Last time you weren't going to go to it, and I took it.
Last time I don't think you knew you had it.
Oh, no,
right?
I knew I had it, and I said to Bergman, you go ahead and take it. I didn't know I had a seat. Then they told me I had a seat, and I said, well, Bergman, why don't you take it?
I sit there a decent amount, especially when I had the credential full time. I would sit there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Who should have that seat, John?
Well, you're going to stay for the whole game,
I'm staying
Greg.
For the whole game.
I am going to stay
staying
for the
Mason,
whole game.
Mason, you've never stayed for a whole Laker game since probably 2010.
No, when it's important, I stay.
Jorge, you think he's staying for the whole game?
Hell no.
I'm staying for the whole game. That's my seat. I'm staying for the whole game.
Who should have the seat?
I would give it, Bergman, I would give it to you because Mason's track record indicates he will not stay for the whole game, regardless of what he's saying.
I will be there to the end.
But see, this is also what's going to happen. Mace is not going to talk to Slee. They're not going to have a conversation about the game.
I'm there to watch a game. I'm not there. There are two ways to watch a game. There's like going to the suite, which is what I did for the Minnesota game, where you schmooze and you talk to clients, or what do we call them now? teammates, partners. Talk to teammates and partners, and you do all that stuff. And I talk to Mike Bone, and you schmooze it up, and hopefully we're the USC football station at some point, and all that kind of stuff.
Schmooze me, baby.
My friends from the LA Metro were there. I hung out with them. So that's what that's that experience. But if I go to a game, I'm there to watch the game. I'm not there to schmooze with Sliwa.
Yeah, but you're talking about the game with Sliwa.
Yeah, no, I'm locked in.
It's a whole conversation. I've learned something from Alan Sliwa.
It's like that time that me and Morales were at a Dodgers game, and apparently we were on camera. By the way, how the hell did I wind up just me and Morales at a Dodger game?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You probably bought the tickets.
Yeah, I did. And the weird thing was Morales talked the entire game. Well, I'm trying to watch the game, and he's talking nonsense about BAM, and it's a final, and all this kind of stuff.
Just in the middle of
it's
the game,
potty,
he's like, BAM!
Potty. I mean, all that. Summer time. He's doing all of his routine, and I'm just trying to watch
the
game.
In the middle of the game, he's saying, exactly. It's a final. I'm
like, no, it's
BAM!
Not.
Home run.
So, yeah, no, but when I watch a game, I'm there to watch the game. So, I mean, I'll say hi to sleep, but I'm not going to, like,
you know what
test.
You need, Mace? They make these. They almost look like hearing aids. They make these really small earpieces now.
Oh yeah.
So if you go to a game with Morales, you could just slide an earpiece into one of your ears away from. And so when he was talking, you'd just be listening to Joe Davis.
Oh, that's a good plan. Although you know what sucks is now that there's a delay.
Oh, is there really?
Yeah, there's a delay for everything. Like when you go to Rams games, you can listen to JB Long on Sirius XM. And you run about a minute and a half late, and Dodger games you run about 10 seconds late.
Yeah, that's no fun.
It's not fun that way.
Yeah, now you're seeing the ball in the air.
In that seat, you get headphones, right? And you can listen to Ireland and
if
Michael.
You ask for him. It depends if Dooley's there. Yeah, he'll give you headphones.
Yeah. So who gets the seat, John?
Take a vote, Greg.
I would give it to Greg.
Yeah,
because he'll stay for the whole game.
Okay. You guys are all wrong. I'm taking it.
Well, we'll see who it gets assigned to, and most likely it'll be you.
Yes. Did I not get you into the World Series?
It was very nice of you.
Okay. Oh, that's messed up. Give him the
seat. Well, we're talking about things from like 5 years ago now.
Yeah, we're going to call you a plunger. You bring old stuff back.
Did I not get
Mace
you into
the plunger?
Did I not get you into Dodger games last year?
You absolutely did. Those were very nice things for you to do. Yes. These are separate issues.
So I get the seat.
I bought you dinner on your birthday last year.
Yeah, but Mason has spent more money on Greg than other way around.
Yes, of course.
Bergman did pick up a check that I tried to pick up.
Well, yeah, you tried, but you didn't.
I don't think Bergman should be picking up my check.
I just go for the micheladas.
It's for your birthday.
Yeah, you're there for the micheladas, exactly. All right, John, tomorrow. Oh, let me go back to this thing, this Justin Tinsley thing, which I think is interesting.
Okay.
So it's the 2-1-1 rule. If you didn't hear this yesterday on Sedano or a little bit earlier when we were talking about it. So the idea is that your best player needs to go off twice. Your second best player has to go off once and your role players have to go off once. So the Lakers in game one had their role players, Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves, go off. That was that one. Now they need two from Anthony Davis and one from LeBron. And tomorrow I think has got to be all about Anthony Davis.
I agree with you. I think that the Lakers will sink or swim in this series based on how AD plays rest of the way. I think if he can figure out a way to play like he was playing when they won 11 of 13 games down the stretch, then the Lakers go into the second round, and whoever they play, Sacramento or the Warriors, they have a great chance. But they'll go as far as AD will carry him. Now, defensively, he's been excellent.
Yep.
I know, like, most people focus on the struggles he had in Game 2, but he blocked 5 shots.
Yeah, he was terrible at the offensive end.
If he can get his offense going, and I think he will, he normally comes back with a really big game after a bad game. I think he'll get his offense going, and I fully expect the Lakers to be up 2-1 after tomorrow.
Do you think he'll be the GOAT of the game?
Do I think he'll what?
Be the GOAT of the game.
Well, see, I keep trying to.
The goat is a great thing.
Okay, because it used to be that a goat was a bad thing.
But the goat is like greatest of all time. It just happens to be for this game.
Yeah, I think if he's the Lakers' best player tomorrow, the Lakers win.
Bergman?
Who is it going to be?
Yeah.
It has to be. I think it should be a guy like Austin Reeves, but it has to be it has to be Anthony Davis. He has to be the best player on the floor on both sides.
Okay, Jorge?
Schroeder, whatever.
Dennis Schroeder.
Schroeder's an interesting pick. He had 0 points in game two.
Yeah, that's an interesting
So he
point.
Could, yeah, he could bounce back.
D'Lo needs to bounce back, too. He was a joke.
Well, here's that the thing. If D'Lo's struggling, I would put Schroeder in and give him those minutes, or give those minutes to Rui.
He was struggling, and they didn't go to Schroeder.
Right.
Why
I know,
that
that's what I'm saying. I would go to Schroeder sooner.
Why didn't they go to him at all?
Part of it's defense, but the...
D'Lo doesn't play defense.
Well, but Tyus Jones is pretty active. Mm-hmm. But I think Schroeder will get more minutes tomorrow if D'Lo continues to struggle.
So John sent a number today that I'd never heard before, that the Memphis Grizzlies are 33-17 without Ja on the floor.
Yeah, with Tyus Jones, with Tyus Jones playing in his place. So they're actually statistically better with Tyus Jones than they are with Ja.
Here's the thing. Bergman gave me that number the other day.
Yeah.
And I totally blanked out that he gave it to me. So when you got it today, I was like,
oh, it's like the TV dad commercials?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like it was it was exactly that. In our meeting, I was like, I said that to you last week. What are you talking about? And he's like, no, John said it. He just sent
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, it's John. John's the voice of the Lakers. Right. It means more when it comes from
thanks,
him.
TV dad.
Yeah. Sure, it does mean more from John, but at the same time, you knew the number already.
Ireland.
I'm shocked by
can
it.
Can you join? Can you join a goat sound? Can you do a goat sound?
Yeah,
we'll mix it in.
Clear the stage and I'll do it. Ready?
Ready.
It's actually pretty good.
You got
One more.
Well, that one cracked.
But the cracks
are okay,
better.
Now Jorge's saying everybody do it now. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Bah.
Bah.
Bah. Bah. Bah. Bah. Okay, very good.
So stupid.
Did you hear Andy Kamenetsky? We isolated Andy Kamenetsky.
I heard his was like weird. Yeah, his sounds like a Dr. Evil laugh.
Right, he's stroking a hairless cat.
Yeah.
While he makes All right, we're covering a lot today. Dodgers lost, by the way, 13-0.
And I lost $10.
Yeah, you betting on the comeback. Betting on the comeback. I actually do want to bring up something, a Rams note, that's interesting. I originally suggested it. It sounded ridiculous. And then apparently it was a real consideration. That's coming up next. And then we got What's Up, Fool, brought to you by Dos Hombres, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Did you hear Greg doing a giraffe impression?
Do giraffes make noise?
Here, this is the noise they make, according to Greg. Giraffe. Do a giraffe.
They don't make noise.
Oh, yeah.
Don't they just...
That sounds something else. No.
All right. I don't know. It's the giraffe noise.
Sounds like a cow eating.
Yeah, exactly. That's what a giraffe sounds like, eating.
But second sounds.
Great big second sound.
Hey, you relax. Big old second sound.
All right, so here's one of Peter Schrager, who's a really good NFL reporter, writes for somebody. I forget who. Who's he write for?
Peter Schrager?
Yeah.
He works. He's on Good Morning Football.
Okay, good. So Peter Schrager said this last week that there was a real consideration that Sean McVay could take a year off as head coach of the Rams and come back for 2024. What do you think of that as a concept? In other words, take off this year, which is going to be a rough one, as they rebuild or remodel or whatever the hell they're calling it, and then come back for the good stuff in 2024.
I don't think he's going to do it.
Well, no, it was a consideration. It's not going to happen now. But they did consider it when McVay was sort of in limbo during those few days at the end of the season when he said, I need to think about it. Apparently then one of the considerations was...
Well, let's play this out.
Okay.
And let's say McVay does say that. Say, guys, I want to take a year off.
Yep.
That's an incredibly weird situation for whoever comes in.
Yes.
So if we'll just say Raheem Morris, for example.
Right.
If he comes in and runs a team for a year, what if they overachieve?
Right.
By the way, going back, bringing this conversation full circle, if everything that teams do is for the fans, how do you justify what the Rams are doing this year?
Well, it is for the fans. It's to set up next year. Sometimes you have to rebuild. We got a Super Bowl. Now they're rebuilding.
It's okay to put a bad product out there if it's a setup year.
If it's a setup for a good year, yes. You're trying to win. Again.
No, they're not.
Yep,
they're not trying to win.
They're trying to win in 2024. They've
right,
said,
but what about 2023? You're not getting a discount on your tickets.
It was an impossibility that they could continue the way they were. It was unsustainable,
right.
So they've got to start over.
They're ignoring outside. They're just concentrating on winning
for the fans.
And that's it. And that's what people – it's not for the fans. You're paying full price for two wins
but
this
year. But
fewer
people will buy tickets if they're a bad team. That's just a fact. If you don't win, you're not making the fans happy.
Right, but you're not unhappy, right?
No,
you're keeping
but it's
going
to suck.
You're keeping your tickets, though.
I am, but it's going to
suck. But if the payoff
I probably won't use all my tickets. I will probably give some away when we're, 5-9.
Right, but if the payoff is Caleb Williams, you're willing to put up with it,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am.
And by the way, you can't be 5-9. You got to be like 2-11.
Oh, no, I'm saying if at some point in the season you're 5-9.
Yeah, what you want to root for is 2-12.
Correct. That's
not
what I
5
want.
And 9, or maybe even 1-13.
Yeah, what's better, 8-9 or 5-12? Well, give me 5-12.
No, not
you
5.
You think it takes more than
not
less
5.
Than 5?
Yeah. You need like 3.
What do you think of trading Aaron Donald?
He changes the game so much
yep.
that I don't know if it's productive. If your goal is, we both agree that our goal is to win in 2024.
Yes.
We're ignoring 2023, right?
Yep. We're building in 2023.
Okay. So if we're building in 2024, I want Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald on that team.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can still perform at an elite level. Matthew Stafford's going to be older. I'm okay with coming up with a new quarterback, but those two guys is who I would build around rather than trade. How about you?
Yeah, it's a tough call.
Bill Barnwell
is the one that suggested they could possibly trade Aaron Donald.
Oh, there was a story today that Cooper Kupp could get traded to the Giants.
Yeah, he's got the Rams getting the 18th pick in the draft as part of a deal for Aaron Donald. He says, let's get a little silly. Rams won Super Bowl on the back of trading 2 first-round draft picks to the Lions.
Aaron Donald's worth more than the 18th pick. So, let's entertain the premise. We're trading Aaron Donald. I think we have to get probably 2 first-rounders and at least 1 player.
Yeah, he suggests the 18th pick in this year's draft, the 55th pick, which would be a third-rounder in this draft, and then the next 2 number ones.
Yeah, that I would consider.
If you had to trade one, Cooper Kupp or Aaron Donald, which one?
I'm trying to think. 20. Aaron Donald is 30, I think.
They're both great. Greg, I would trade Kupp because he's more replaceable than Donald. You can't replace Aaron Donald. There's nobody else that does what he does. Cooper Kupp is elite, but Deebo Samuel can do all the things that Cooper Kupp does. Tyreek Hill can do all the things that Cooper Kupp does. Maybe not as good as Cooper Kupp, but if you made me pick, I would keep Donald and trade Kupp.
So
how about you,
Donald,
Mace?
Donald is 31, Kupp is 29.
Yeah, yeah. So roughly the same age.
The only problem with this is Aaron Donald has flirted with retirement.
Yeah, and that's part of this.
That's Alex K. from Bleacher Report suggests this. Cooper Kupp to the Giants for the 25th overall pick, a third-round pick, number 89, and a third-round pick in 2024. I don't know that that's enough to get
all right,
the
how
guy
about
who won the Triple Crown.
Get rid of one of those picks or 2 of those picks. How about Saquon Barkley and a number 1 for Kupp? Because they don't want to pay Saquon.
I don't bet on running backs.
But he is the type of running back that Sean McVay would go nuts with. And he had a really good year.
Cam Akers was fine towards the end of the
year.
Yeah,
I thought Cam, it's a matter of where do you want to put your resources.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big sign a running back for a bunch. I've seen that movie. It did not end well. Todd Gurley was a disaster as a deal.
Yeah, and they were ready to give up on Cam Akers.
And somehow turned him around.
Yeah.
I was just looking. So, yeah, Saquon Barkley ran for 1,300 yards with 10 TDs.
Can I drop a little breaking news here?
Yeah, do it.
Okay, Ramona just tweeted that Taylor Jenkins, the coach of the Grizzlies,
yes,
is doing media right now.
Right.
He says, Ja Morant went through a non-contact practice and individual workout that included dribbling and shooting. It's just catching the ball he's having to navigate. Grizzlies will make a decision at game time, but Jenkins said Morant's hand is a lot better than it was 2 days ago.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be surprised if we see Ja tomorrow.
You would think it becomes, I know the record is 33-17, whatever it is. They've won a ton of games with Tyus Jones. They've won more with Ja Morant. I mean, I think in a way, I kind of hope Ja Morant plays.
Because you think it benefits the Lakers?
No, because I think he's fun to watch.
Yeah. I never root for any player to be hurt. Like, even if they're playing against my team. I think what's great about going to NBA games is you get to see all these great players from around the world. And so I hope Ja plays too. Yeah. I think Laker fans would love to watch him.
Last thing here, and then we'll get to what's up, fool. We were talking about the NFL draft. I've got this note. The team that drafted the worst over the last 5 years was the Raiders.
Well, that's not surprising. I think you could extend that out to the last 10 years.
The Raiders whiffs in the first round under
Gruden and Mayock were brutal.
Under the Gruden-Mayock regime were legendary. They repeatedly committed the cardinal sin of reaching relative to the consensus board and ended up with very little in return almost every time. During a two-year period, they had 5 first-round picks. The only one of those players still with the team is Josh Jacobs, who may be there only for 1 year on a franchise. Did they work out Josh Jacobs?
No, they gave him a long-term deal.
They gave him a long-term deal.
No, they didn't.
Oh, they did not.
No, okay. Not yet.
So of their first-round picks, only one of them is still on the roster. So that's
yeah,
one of the
reasons. Yeah, a couple
of
them are out of the league. One's in jail. It was just an awful Gruden and Mayock's legacy is that they screwed up the draft every year.
And you guys are no higher at all on Josh McDaniel.
No, I mean, he's failed. He failed in Denver. I don't think he's been great with the Raiders. And they hired a GM from New England. I don't know why people don't learn that everybody that comes out of the New England tree, executives and coaches, fail when they leave. It's
historically, that is the case. No question.
Yet the Raiders seem to be tripling down on it.
All right, Bergman, what's up, fool? Is it good today?
You know, it's adequate.
Adequate. An adequate What's Up Fool brought to you by Dos Hombres Mezcal. Coming up next, 710 ESPN.
Go ahead, Mace, what you got?
All right, What's Up Fool is brought to you by Dos Hombres Mezcal. Gives you the more, just the right more for those everyday moments with great friends that call for more.
All right, thanks a lot, Mace and Chris and everybody else.
Just I'm trying randomly. To just,
smooth.
Yeah, super smooth. Hey, let's go on. All right, so the Toronto Raptors fired Nick Nurse today after 5 years. He won the title in his rookie season as a head coach with the Raptors, and now he's gone. How quickly will he find a new coaching gig, Ireland?
Probably within 2 weeks. I think he's going to get the job.
You think within 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think he'll either get the job in Houston or the job in Detroit. I'm rooting for Frank Vogel because I'm a big Frank Vogel fan to get the job in Houston. So maybe Nick goes to – but Nick's a great coach. I think, guys, there's only 8 guys in the whole league that have a championship ring as a head coach,
yeah,
and he's one of them. So he'll if he wants to get right back in – and by the way, if he doesn't want to get right back in, he can go to TV and he'd be great.
Coaches have a – I don't want to say lifespan. What am I trying to say?
No, you're not off. I know what you're trying to say. And Pat Riley used to say the same thing that Pat Riley used to say 10 years that if you get, and I actually think it's closer to 5.
Yeah, Nick got 5.
Yeah, that if the players get tired of listening to you after 5 years, and it's probably a good idea that you move on.
Yeah,
so that's what went wrong.
It doesn't indicate that he's not, I mean, he's a championship coach, obviously, but at some point you've run your course. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. You've run your course. He probably ran his course in Toronto. He's going to get another shot somewhere else. He's a very good coach.
So apparently he has that Tom Thibodeau aspect to him where he just overplays his guys. Is that was part of the issue?
Nobody's as bad as Thibodeau. In Nurse's case, they kept letting his best players leave. Mm. I mean,
they had a pretty good roster this year.
Well, Kawhi left.
Pascal Siakam.
Right.
OG Anunoby.
But think about what they were a few years ago. The heart of their team was DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, and then they traded DeMar for
Kawhi Leonard
and won the title, and then Kawhi left. So they didn't really replace the guys who left. That was part of the problem. I don't blame it all on Nick that they didn't do well this year. They made the play-in game, right?
Yes.
And then got bounced out. But he'll get it. Nick Nurse is very well-respected and well-liked. He'll get a job soon.
What's up, fool?
All right, so, John, there's a story that you put out the other day. That said, did you know a dog can become an alcoholic?
I did not know this.
Tell me about it.
Mace, did you know this?
I did. I just read the story, but had no idea until I read the story.
So how did the dog become an alcoholic? The guy was leaving liquor laying around, and the dog got addicted to it?
Well, the way it sounds to me is these dogs went to an animal shelter, and they began showing signs of alcohol withdrawal. The staff says it was a first for them. One of the dogs was actually in intensive care for a while. While he was getting through alcohol, I apparently had the DTs. The idea was apparently whoever owned these dogs was trying to get them to settle down, stop barking, stop being so crazy.
So he gave them alcohol?
So he gave them alcohol, yeah.
That's sad.
Terrible. Now, it's a terrible story, Bergman. I don't know why you brought it up. But here's my question.
You're such...
When you...
Seriously.
You're such a piece of garbage.
Oh, man.
So when you were a baby, did you ever get alcohol in your baby bottle?
I don't think so, but I'd have to ask.
Bergman, did you ever get alcohol in your baby bottle when you were growing up?
Is the idea that it would mellow you out?
Yes.
So okay. No, they would. My dad or mom would dip their pinky in like scotch and then rub it on my gums.
Yeah, for teething.
Yeah. Oh, for teething.
And then it'd also knock you out.
Well, I got
and did
it.
You then, Greg, did you say scotch, scotch, scotch?
Scotchy,
scotchy,
scotch. Down
get in
my
belly.
I used to get brandy in my baby bottle. I developed a habit as a child.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
Good parenting.
Good parenting, exactly. Exactly.
What's up, fool?
Hey, what did you call scotch the other day? Was it mossy? Moss? What did you
call
it?
Oh, it's peaty.
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 Was it
peaty? A nice peaty scotch.
Scotch is peaty.
Yeah.
All right, what's up?
It's absolutely true, by the way.
All right, what's up, Foo?
What's up, Foo?
I came across this story. Dolly Parton recorded a secret song, which she locked in a box at Dollywood's Dreammore Resort. Where is that at, by the way?
It's in Tennessee.
Tennessee, okay. Yeah.
So the box also contains a CD player that won't be opened until 2045 on June 19th when she turns 100. If you can put anybody's music in a box and it won't be opened for 50 years for the future, what artist would you put in that box?
For me, it'd be Prince. And matter of fact, there supposedly are some stuff that's at Paisley Park that none of us have ever heard that's locked up that his estate is trying to decide whether or not to release. But Prince was so different and so off the wall that I think in 50 years it might still work. I mean, he was just unique, so I would do Prince.
So the musical artist that I'm probably the most, I listen to more than any other and I'm most fixated on is Leonard Cohen, who just passed away recently. He's the guy that did Hallelujah, Bird on a Wire. It's amazing music. And if I could open a vault in 50 years and listen to something from Leonard Cohen, one of the greatest lyricists of all time, I would say Leonard Cohen.
Greg?
I really like the Prince one. That was kind of where my first thought went.
Was it?
I love Prince and everything that he has. So, yeah, I would go there. Yeah.
By the way, Greg, 7 years ago today.
Today?
Prince died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
7 years ago today.
What about you, Jorge?
I'll put a little sabor, you know, put a little salsa out there, a little cumbia.
You have an artist?
Eddie Santiago. Man, there's a bunch of them. Fruco, there's a bunch of them. But
I'm a big Eddie Santiago guy.
You don't know who Eddie Santiago is.
He's in my playlist right now. A lot of salsa out there. Yeah. A little sabor out there for the future.
Yeah.
Mace, one song by Eddie Santiago is what?
Mia.
Oh, man. No, he's not lying. I kid you not. That's a real song.
That's a real song?
Yeah. Sangre Caliente.
No, that's that one.
That's right, though, right?
Sure.
Is it? What did I say?
Hot Blood.
Exactly. Hot Blood.
Foreigner had a song called Hot Blooded. He may not
yeah,
be far
no,
off.
Yeah, no, I wasn't too far off.
You're close.
What's up, fool?
All right, so the NFL has suspended 5 players, 4 Lions and 1 Commander, for betting on football games last year. Lions players Jamison Williams, C.J. Moore, Quintez Cephas, Stanley Berryhill, and Commander's Shaka Tony are all either indefinitely suspended or out for at least 6 games. Why are guys still betting on games in the NFL? It's pretty clear that it's not legal.
Well, what's weird is... 2 of those guys, Greg, got suspended for betting on college football games
yeah.
from the facility. In other words, they were on their phones at the facility and they bet on college games. I wouldn't suspend guys for that. I would just go and tell them, hey, there's a rule. You guys can't bet against. I mean, I'll give you guys, I'll let you behind the curtain a little bit. Everybody that works for an NBA team, in my case, the Lakers, we have to take a gambling seminar every single year. And they outline exactly what you can and can't bet on.
Right.
So everybody knows the rules. But, Mace, I wouldn't suspend people for betting on college football. Why is an NFL player betting on college football a problem for the NFL?
Yeah, I don't understand this one either. The 2 guys that were betting on NFL games should be – they should get the Calvin Ridley treatment. I think Calvin Ridley, the wide receiver – he's coming back this year, but was gone for like a year and a half,
right.
I think.
For betting on NFL.
For betting on NFL. So that I understand. I don't understand how, especially in this world where gambling is so easy, it's on your phone. I don't know what the deal
and
is
by
in
the way,
Michigan.
The leagues have deals with all these gambling companies now.
But to bet on college football, which has nothing to do with your profession or the games that you're involved in, I don't understand why that is a reason to be sanctioned. Apparently, it says it in the rule book somewhere.
If it's in the NFL rule book that you're not allowed to do it, which they very clearly define,
yeah, and they beat it over your head, too.
But right. The truth is, you know, we now enter a world where at some point in the future, I don't know when, but we're going to get a point-shaving scandal of some kind.
I think you're right.
I mean, it's just bound to happen. The gambling, all you got to do is say, hey, so-and-so is going to be hurt. Or so-and-so is not going to play, or is not 100%. You know, say something like that and make a bet based on that, and all of a sudden you're using inside information. I think gambling is so widespread now that we're bound to have a situation like that at some point.
What's up, fool?
All right, so this is an interesting question that you had, John, earlier. How long should parents pay for their adult children? Mm. The kids say at least until they're 23. The parents say 21 or even 19. What say you?
I started feeling guilty when my parents paid for anything once I went off to college. So I lean more towards the parents' angle on this. I think once you're 21, you've got to stand on your own 2 feet. 23 to 25 seems weird to me.
So it is tough out there. And people, you know, are having a hard time making a living. And, you know, there's health insurance that gets extended if you're still part of the household until right. the age of 26, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I can only speak for myself. I didn't pay for anything past the age of 15. I paid for college. I paid for my car. I paid for my haircuts. I mean, I worked a lot as a kid.
Wouldn't you have felt guilty if you didn't?
Yeah, I mean, I left at 18 and they never saw me again. They saw me occasionally on weekends.
Greg, isn't it freeloading if you're 25 and you're living off your parents?
I mean, kind of. Depends on what you're doing. Every situation is different. But if you're looking for a job or if you just got laid off, it kind of all makes a difference there.
And realistically, especially, you know, Gen Z, people are having a hard time making a living. There are lots of jobs out there, but not necessarily ones that pay a bunch. So I sympathize with anybody who's in a position where they've still got to live at home. I know people want to live on their own. They want to be on their own 2 feet. But the economy is tough, especially on that generation. So I'm sympathetic to that.
Now, if you're just doing that, freeloading, you're not looking for a job, you're not doing anything to try and go get a job or even try and make your own money.
Then you're a lazy ass.
Then you're lazy and you should not be. Yeah, yeah no, then exactly. You're a lazy ass and you're just trying to freeload off your parents and that's not okay.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do it.
Yeah, I moved out at 18, so I don't know. I mean, I've always had to work.
Yeah, I said, see ya.
Yep.
See ya.
I wanted out. I didn't want to be around my parents anymore.
No, I couldn't.
That was terrible.
My parents drove me nuts.
Yep.
What's up, fool?
All right, so Gilbert Arenas does a podcast with Josiah Johnson.
Wait a minute. He has It's an athlete who has a podcast. Okay.
Shocking,
got
right?
It. Yeah.
I know, crazy. I think it's actually called the Gilbert Arenas Podcast.
Good.
With Josiah Johnson.
Creative.
And he was talking today about how the Indiana fans are the fans that got to him the most when he was playing. Then they talked about how in Indiana, Kyle Kuzma got heckled at the free throw line with LeBron's gonna trade you. LeBron's gonna trade you. But when he was a Laker. Where have you heard the most brutal hecklers at a stadium or arena?
This is weird, but Utah, Salt Lake City, is the meanest fans in the league. And they're rabid. I mean, they're into the game and stuff, but they cross the line all the time.
But what about people that don't cross the line? Like, Indiana stuff was not crossing the line.
Yeah, well, the Derek Fisher situation was way over the line.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about in Utah. Yeah,
it was in Utah. Yeah.
That was so. What Mason's talking about is Derek Fisher's daughter had retinoblastoma. It's a cancer in your eye, and she was 2 years old. And there's video of some Utah fan. Actually, it's just one guy behind the bench putting his hand over his eye to try and get Fisher to miss a free throw. And that's the type of stuff that I've seen in Utah. But, Greg, if you want just straight heckling, the answer is Philadelphia. Philadelphia fans are brutal. They'll heckle their own team. They once booed Santa Claus. And if you ask the Philly fans, you guys booed Santa Claus, they'll say, yeah, he deserved it. He was drunk. I mean, Philadelphia fans are the most brutal fans in the league.
So when I lived in New York, somehow this guy named Tom the Sheriff started calling the show. And Tom the Sheriff was the guy who sort of organized the right field bleacher creatures. And
Derek Jeter.
Yeah, exactly. Sue Kolinsky and I found ourselves out there on a pretty regular basis, at least once a month for you. And they were pretty rough on opposing fans or on opposing players. They were pretty rough. So for me, in terms of personal experience, I would say right field, Yankee Stadium, bleacher creatures, Tom the Sheriff.
So was Indiana as bad as he's talking about, though? Like, were they? Do you see how people are bad in Indiana?
Well, they do an interesting thing in Indiana in the beginning. They say they run a clip from Hoosiers, and they say, in 49 other states, they're playing basketball tonight. But this is Indiana. They consider themselves to be the number one state for basketball in the country. So they take it very seriously. But I've never heard anything like, LeBron's going to trade you is not.
That's not
line.
Too rough. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
No, I mean, he missed the free throws.
I just found Sheriff Tom, anointed sovereign of sighs and groans, a reformed Yankee Stadium bleacher creature. It sounds like he gave it up, but there definitely was a Tom the Sheriff.
What's that, fool?
That was it. I didn't know if there was more to that story.
No, there was the story.
There were already more. And,
No, that's all
just
that's there was.
At a
sorry.
Weird spot
that's
there.
All
that's,
I
that'll
had.
End.
Was
what's up,
that?
Fool? We're just keep talking.
What's that, fool?
Suck his ass. It's Friday.
Right. Yes, sir, Rebo.
So, I'm getting there.
All right.
It's coming. All right.
Right.
Don't forget to bring a tile.
Just random sound effects day. All right. Coming up next for you, John. There are, I am going to a tourist attraction this weekend in Los Angeles where I have never been.
Okay.
And simultaneously, there are 21, according to the LA Times, tourist attractions that everybody should go to when they come to town. You have indicated that you've been to very few of these.
Correct.
I went through the list. I've been to a lot. Let's go through it next.
Okay.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
How big is his ass?